Now, we've done a podcast on goalkeepers before.
Right. Yes, yes, we have. You said yesterday.
But I haven't listened back to
it. I haven't listened to it. It was a long time ago.
I know.
Though.
It was at least...
So it's surely...
160-odd pods ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So I reckon... Oh. I reckon we just go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Don't mention it.
No.
And then we listen back to it.
Uh-huh.
And we think if our opinions on goalkeepers have changed any over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football.
Well done.
I almost went and said, hello and welcome to the Sound of Football with me, Graham Sibley, and Jan Bilton and Terry DeFellin.
And then you realised that we are a man down.
I did realise we were a man down, yes. Yes, yeah, and yes, no Jan Bilton here this week, just me and Terry.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we haven't even got anyone calling in.
No, we haven't.
Over the Interskype.
Indeed, we're two-handing it.
Yeah, and I think we can do this.
I think we can.
Yeah.
I think we've gassed enough between us down the years to be able to gas for half an hour or so.
And I can hear it now, though, like the long-term fans, those grizzled old people that, like, listening to our podcast who download it every week. And say, like, yeah, you're loyal fans. And they'll say, like, God damn, every transfer window, it's the same. They never bring anyone in, do they?
Hey, very good. Absolutely. what we need is a special Sound of Football fan TV station where we've got, you know, some really objectionable entitled people standing outside your house. Just interviewing listeners, saying how rubbish we are and how we never bring anyone in.
Standing outside the Sound of Football shop.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
If only it wasn't just an online shop. Hey, and that reminds me, listeners, if you're looking for a T-shirt...
Christmas is round the corner.
..in this Indian summer we're going to be having, then why not get along to the Sound of Football shop?
We have some wonderful T-shirts at the Sound of Football Shop.
I think we've got about three there now.
Yes, we have, and they're all wonderful.
They're all wonderful. Yeah, so this week, though, Terry and I were going to be... We touched on it last week, didn't we?
We did. We did, yes.
We did mention the name Joe Hart.
We did, yes.
Or as we like to call him now...
Charlie Hart.
Charlie Hart. Yes, since we found out that his first name is actually Charles.
Charles Joseph John Hart.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a wonderful name.
It is a wonderful
name.
It's
a brilliant name. And in a good on him, I mean, you know, fair enough. Joe Hart, good solid name. Always thought Joe, good solid name.
Yeah, it is a good solid name.
Yeah, yeah. But Charlie, lovely. That would have been awesome. But, you know, it's totally is cool. I'm not ridiculing him at all.
No.
No joking. Seriously. Yeah. Charlie Hart would have been great. But you know what?
And I suppose that's it, though. You see, he wants to go for the solid, dependable name, doesn't he? Joe Hart.
You know, Joe.
Yeah.
Eat at Joe's, because that's what you do. You eat at Joe's. You know what I mean? Like, Joe, you know where you are when you're at a chapel like Joe. Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do at Charlie's, though?
Indeed.
Exactly.
Maybe he should reinvent himself.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I suppose the thing is, if he was a number 10, Charlie Hart might be something like... That's a 70s number 10, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a kind of Robin Friday type.
Yeah, like socks rolled down, rolled down.
Yeah.
Shirt out.
Just talent.
Yes.
But no footage of him anywhere. No. So you never realise. No. So you only have to go by people's word.
Yeah, you only have to go on people who say they were QPR season ticket holders.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Robin Friday is one of the great myths of the football world. I mean, no one ever saw him play. And nobody believes anyone who said that he did play. We have, however, seen quite a lot of Joe Hart.
Yes.
Down the years.
Yes, we have. And what do we think of him, generally?
Well, he seems like a stand-up guy. He seems like someone who is willing to front up to the fans. I think there's an element of Kipling about him. I mean, I think he treats defeat and victory as imposters.
Mm.
And I admire that about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if he's always been in this sort of like bubble of the Premier League and England, isn't he? He's rose from small beginnings, I suppose, as all footballers really do, don't they?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and he's done spells on loan, albeit for not too long. I mean, probably the longest was when he was at Birmingham City.
Yeah, that was almost a season, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, he's been inside some filthy dressing rooms in his time. I suppose if there was a criticism that there was to have of him is that you don't feel that at the age of 29, when he should be approaching his peak,
yes,
and you can't help but feel that he's in something of a decline, or he's certainly going through, you'd have to say, something of a bad patch.
Now, what would you say this bad patch is about? Do you think it's just, say, him losing his direction a bit? See him thinking or trying to change his game and then that not being the most natural thing for him?
Mm.
Or do you think it's more a case of the fact that as soon as someone puts on an England shirt and has been there for a few years, if things are going wrong, let's blame the easiest thing to blame?
Well, I mean, he was dropped last season for the League Cup final.
Yeah.
And one assumes that this had something to do with form.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily just...
and it wasn't a bad call, actually, thing. Was it? And now, that League Cup final,
no,
was it?
It wasn't a bad call. Yeah. No. So it isn't just the England thing. I think it would be really harsh to judge a guy on the basis of a disappointing performance at a summer tournament.
Yeah.
I think that I would imagine that there's more. There's a little bit more.
Especially when he's in a whole squad of people who are
generally. Yeah. I mean, it'd be really harsh because goalkeepers, of course, their mistakes are so much more costly. But I mean, his bad form was indicative of what was a really disappointing form for the whole England team.
Yes.
Obviously exemplified by the fact that he, you know, particularly against Iceland, he had a bit of a shocker.
Yeah, and I suppose really the call for like 23 spikes to be erected outside the tower is probably sort of the first thing you're going to start with is the number one, I suppose.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the importance of the role.
But it seems to be that every summer tournament, every World Cup at least that comes around, we need to get a new goalkeeper, though, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, he's done okay, hasn't he? Because, I mean, it was he took over because the talk was that he should have taken over in 2010 instead of Rob Green. And then when Rob Green had his nightmare tournament, everybody said he definitely should have done it. And he was quite a young fella by that point, he was back then. And so it was sort of Fabio didn't feel that it was a good idea to bring him in at that time. And then pretty much then he got in, and he's cut to that point where it's like in 2012, he's like, well, he's still quite young, so it's all right. So we're growing into him. He'll improve. He'll get better. And now he's got to the point where he really ought to be at his peak. And you can't help feel that he's lacking. I wonder whether perhaps to an extent, it's because a lot of it, I think, is the English malaise of applying way too much talent on players who aren't actually as talented as we make them out to be.
Yeah.
So this guy, Joe Hart, was going to be the next Pete Shilton, the next Gordon Banks, to listen to some people talk about him and his potential, whereas perhaps all he was ever going to be was a decent goalkeeper. And I would say that he is a decent goalkeeper, but there is perhaps an aura about him propagated by some that suggest that he's an outstanding goalkeeper, possibly even world class. And I don't think that that's fair on him, and I don't think that that's entirely accurate either.
There is an interesting phrase you use there, world class, and that always seems to... It seems to be a term that's easily used by a lot of people, even people who mix in our circles will use the word world class. You just did.
I just did, yes. Yeah.
But there's also a lot of people that tick slightly when the term world class is used, because it does seem to be almost ubiquitous sometimes when you mean actually international class.
Yes, or just good.
Yeah. How many world-class goalkeepers are there out there at the moment?
I don't know. That's very difficult to answer. I mean,
technically, it should be one, shouldn't it?
I would imagine that probably if there was one, it would be Manuel Neuer.
Yeah.
But I mean, Manuel Neuer can be chipped. Manuel Neuer could be beaten at his part, at his near post.
Yeah.
I mean, he still from time to time makes makes brain farts and makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Admittedly, rarely.
And sometimes when he rushes out outside the box, he's made to look a fool.
Yes, yeah. But again, you know, rarely he's actually very, very good at doing that. And I mean, this is why, ultimately, why Joe Hart is leaving, is because he's not even close to reaching that kind of standard that Manuel Neuer. But I mean, I would say that it would probably be him. I mean, it's difficult because, I mean, when you think of top-class goalkeepers, I would still think of Buffon.
Yeah.
Who, you know, maybe he's at a stage now where he is beyond the point of, quotes, world class. But I'm reluctant to be, you know, too judgmental about goalkeepers, because there's a certain set of skill sets which I think you need to be quite aware of. And to the casual observer, they're not always apparent.
I think there is a feeling. I don't know if this is actually something that's being generated or whether it's just something that I've seen come and go before in football, where you see two really, really great exponents of the art, where you've got Buffon and Neuer.
Yeah.
Two fabulous goalkeepers, but two goalkeepers with two very, very different ways of looking at the game. You've got Buffon, who is just basically the classic goalkeeper.
He's
everything you want in a goalkeeper. He's someone commanding, massive, massive hands.
Enormous hands.
A big guy, big presence. That's that, and but also athletic, and you know, just does everything you want the goalkeeper to do. And then you've got Neuer,
who is
basically looks like, well, he looks apart because he's massive as well, he's a big presence, and you know, cocky bastard as well, which is what you need to bring in a goalkeeper.
Yep,
and there's no two ways about it. If he was playing for your team, you'd absolutely love him. As well, this is a guy who oftentimes looks like he's had to put the goalkeeper shirt on because the goalkeeper's gone off injured and he wants to be the outfield player.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's bloody good at
it. He's bloody good at that. I mean, he's easily the best outfield goalkeeper that there is. And I mean, and the what I think that Joe Hart has suffered from, and others like him will suffer from, is that managers will look at Neuer and think, look, he's establishing a template for a goalkeeper. This is how I want my goalkeepers to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, other goalkeepers are going to end up suffering as a consequence. Mm. And perhaps the first high-profile casualty of that is Joe Hart. Joe Hart does not play like Manuel Neuer. He doesn't have anything like the kind of ball control skills. He can't blast them. He's not an outfield player. Manuel Neuer, it is said, and this is kind of like in, you know, he could, but there is a feeling that Manuel Neuer would have made a passable third division outfield player, which is a decent standard. That's better than most people can play.
Again, he's been playing at professional football clubs since he was a kid.
Yeah.
So you sort of think, well, you know, you've been around some really, really good coaches. You've been brought up through the German coaching system.
Yes.
So maybe you think, well, you know, if all he's had to do all day is play football, then maybe he should be quite good at it.
Yeah, I don't know when he converted to goalkeeper. And maybe it was a relatively late age. But I wonder whether or not he just always kept his eye in terms of his outfield play. And he's now reached a point where, you know, Pep Guardiola has moved on to another club and obviously can't bring him with him. That's out of the question. But wants to be able to replicate that is, because he's provided a tactical advantage for Guardiola.
Mm.
The idea of Neuer, when you play like Bayern did, when you play high possession and a really high line, and then you're pushing your opponent so far back that you've got almost the entire defensive half to yourself. Neuer can afford to go, you know, 10, 20 yards further up the pitch and act as a sweeper.
Yeah.
And I mean, he would do that and it would be really effective.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that Pep wants in his tactical range for City. It may not be as effective as it was at Bayern. It may never be something that he can achieve. But certainly, I think getting Claudio Bravo from Barcelona is part of that. Claudio Bravo's pass completion and his average number of passes per game and successful passes per game that is considerably higher than Joe Hart's. It's only moderately lower than Manuel Neuer's. So you can see what he's thinking in terms of doing that. Is he wants that ball play.
What are his packing rates like?
The packing rate, I don't know what his packing rates are, but this is the thing. I mean, let us take a moment to mock packing rates.
Yes.
But let us also consider the value of packing rates, because a goalkeeper would, in theory, have very, very high packing rate, because they should, in theory, be the master of the longer, controlled long pass, shall we say.
The long ball.
In which case, as long as you find a guy at the other end of it, then you could be talking about...
Knock it down the channels.
Like, you know, taking out... I mean, you know, we call it packing rate. But basically, you're taking out a load of opposition players with one ball.
Yeah.
You know, and Neuer is good at doing that. And I think that Pep would like to be able to replicate that at City. And he just doesn't see that with Joe. And the problem that he's got with Joe is Joe's such a high-profile goalkeeper. And for all the times that we might shout and swear at him when he's playing for England, I think he is genuinely... There's genuine affection for him as well, broadly, you know. And I think the City fans like him as well. So he's in a difficult position. I think he's picking Caballero simply because he's giving Joe the opportunity to get his ass out of there. He's not giving, he's making it completely ambiguous. I don't think he thinks the other guy is any better. I think he just thinks, you know, this guy needs to get out of here and I'm going to give him the time to do it.
Do you think it's easy for goalkeepers to garner sympathy amongst fans? Do you think they're easier or do you think they're a bigger target?
I think that they are a bigger target. I think that a perfect example of that was illustrated last night at the FA Cup game between Whiteleaf and Hollands and Blair.
Yes.
Where the goalkeeper, who was, 13?
Barely shaving. Yeah.
I mean, he was barely shaving.
Yeah.
Was taking all good-natured but a fair amount of untold stick from them. They are easy targets.
Yeah. You know, he did give us the 2-1, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I'm not suggesting he didn't earn it. He totally earned it, and he was up for it. And you know what? He played well. He played some good goals. Well, he conceded four goals. But apart from the fact that he conceded four goals, he saved a penalty. All right, it was a rubbish penalty. Yep. But he made a couple of very, very good saves. And, I mean, it was all he took it all in the right spirit. And,
yes.
You know, he's brave. But, yes, I mean, goalkeepers are destined to be the guys. There's a whole slew of games. There'll be goalkeepers listening to this, I'm sure, who know exactly what it is, who've played at any kind of level, where they're standing at the guy, and then there's people behind, there's fans of the opposing team behind them, and all they're doing is just giving you shit.
Yeah.
And it's that mentality, I think, ripples all the way up to the elite level. Goalkeepers are destined to stand there and take shit.
Yes.
That's the prime narrative of a goalkeeper. That's why they're easy targets. But they're so important.
Mm.
And they're going to become even more important. Because consider this, if you're 11 years old, and you're a goalkeeper, and you're pretty certain that if you're ever going to be a professional goalkeeper, then that's your path, a professional footballer, then your path is goalkeeping. You're going to be looking at Manuel Neuer as your template, as your inspiration.
You have to be, don't you?
Yeah. You're not going to be looking at Joe Hart or anybody else for that matter. Mm. You're going to be looking at Manuel Neuer because you're going to be thinking, I need to be able to be a great goalkeeper and I need to be able to be a decent footballer as well. Because my coach is, because if I'm going to get on, then my coach is going to want me to play a bit further up the pitch and want me to act as a kind of sweeper, as a last man. And the role of the goalkeeper could end up shifting quite significantly. In 10 years' time, they'll all be like that. And you could see goalkeeper as like some kind of quarterback role.
Yeah.
You know, really fundamentally changing
the role of the goalkeeper. If you think about it, the way he plays is very much like in a similar way. Well, this is how goalkeeper started, but as the fullback in rugby.
Right. Yes.
It's exactly that sort of role.
Ooh. That's an excellent comparison.
Yeah. That's the origin of the goalkeeper when he didn't wear a different colour shirt because everyone could handle the ball
So they end up becoming the number one player like it says on the back of their shirts.
Yeah,
I mean, really the most important player on the pitch. It's one possible sort of tactical scenario for the game as we look to the future.
I mean, but as well, you're right when you say that with like 11-year-old kids, because let's face it, they are looking worldwide now.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, we would look worldwide every 4 years when the World Cup
When we were 11, it was only First Division players, wasn't it, that we looked at. And we didn't really look at international players. Now, now the kids today, they've got the whole lot. They can, and it's all there, and they can pick their stars from all over the globe, and they don't have to wait once every 2 years.
Mm.
So they'll watch Bundesliga on BT, or
they'll have FIFA, and they'll be getting them.
Yes, and they'll be getting the players. Of course, they will. That's how.
I'm sure if we look at Henry's Sunderland side on his FIFA save, it will have Manuel Neuer in goal.
It's going to be pretty diverse, isn't it? Yeah, and I'm sure you're right.
And
he's
got about eight forwards there as well.
That's as it should be.
He's starting 11.
That's as it should be.
I'm not going to mess with his tactics. No, you know he's very right.
I reckon he could certainly beat us both.
Well, he's playing.
The same time.
I think he told me the other day he was playing Ronaldo, Aguero, Messi, who else was he? Was he playing? Oh, he was playing Higuain as well up front, and there was a Griezmann as well because he just watched he's been watching the Euros. So he had all those like that was his forward line.
That's pretty formidable.
He thought that was quite balanced actually. So
playing WM as well, was just two half backs. And Manuel Neuer sort of like acting as a libero.
I want to see another City game because I think it might be an formation he's playing there. But
I think he's moving it around. I think we've not been able to fully establish.
I don't think he's completely ripping off Herbert Chapman.
No. But I reckon he probably sort of like he's looked at those old formations from Chapman and gone, One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to go to England and I'm going to set a team up like that and I'm going to win the league with it. just because I can.
Do you reckon Noy is like that because he's just him and he's just a bit sort of like, you know, someone who's, well, I'm coming after Ollie Kahn. I've got to have some pretty big balls, haven't I?
Yeah, I think it is because he's grown into the role of being, you know, the Bayern Munich keeper. And fully aware that he's got a mark that needs to be made as being the Bayern Munich keeper and this is his thing.
Mm.
And it's something that he's really good at. And it's something that his manager, his last coach, has encouraged and has utilised. But I suspect, it's come from him rather than, say, Guardiola. I think he's always had that kind of adventurous spirit. Maybe not so much when he was at Schalke, although that was a long time ago now, so it's hard to remember too much his Schalke years, unfortunately.
Yeah,
he was a lot younger and he made a lot more mistakes. I do know that, but
I do. One game that does stick in my mind was I think a 0-0 draw between Schalke and Dortmund.
He was amazing.
He had about half a dozen one-on-ones. Yeah. And well, it was 0-0.
It was 0-0. He totally won that point for Schalke. Yes, I remember that game. That was insane.
I think he must have only been about 21, 22 at the time as well. So
it was a signature game for him, I think.
Certainly something that made me watch him go, bloody hell. Yeah. He's not bad, is he? but it'd be interesting to see who's going to be, sort of whether or not we see young goalkeepers coming through now. Even now, whether or not there'll be more sort of gung-ho, or whether or not, because it's a balance, isn't it, really? Because if you're a young professional, you don't want to go out there and just like swagger around pretending you're in the place, because you'll be made to look a fool. And that's what goalkeepers are there for, aren't they? That's what they set up for.
And that's where the coaching comes into it, because obviously the coaches won't have the experience in coaching that kind of goalkeeper. Yeah. Goalkeeping coaches are goalkeepers, so they won't. So there could be all manner of hijinks going on. I mean, you know, we could have, you know, people replicating, you know, the whole Higuita thing, and you also will then get goalkeepers who are much more conservative because they say, "Well, this isn't for me. I'm just going to be a goalkeeper."
You didn't see any of that, did you? Really, you didn't see that old scorpion kick thing.
No, but he's not. I mean, he's not. No, he's too.
Yeah.
How can I put this? He's too. I think he's too. There isn't that necessarily that kind of carelessness.
No,
about
but I
him.
Think it, as well in South American football and Central American football, there is that allowance for a bit of flair from goalkeeper.
Flamboyant.
Who was the Paraguay?
Chilavert.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound Paraguayan, does it?
No,
it doesn't.
Who was the guy who took all the penalties and the free kicks?
Yeah, and the free kicks. Yeah, he had a really high scoring rate.
Yeah, he was the captain, wasn't
he? Yeah, but he was an anomaly. Yeah, obviously. I think what I'm trying to argue is that Neuer is a herald of goalkeeping.
Of a new age of goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or he may not be. It depends. History will decide. We'll know. We'll know soon enough. But you can listen back to this podcast in 10 years' time and might say that guy was fantasy. Complete fantasy. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it went.
Yeah, I mean, it is one area where when formations have changed from one way or another, if you've got false nines, why not have a false one?
Why not? Why not indeed?
Which is a term of abuse I've given to people when they've been rubbish in goal.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But I mean, going back to your fullback thing, I mean, you could have the whole, because a fullback, what else is a fullback now? Fullback really these days is a winger, right?
Yeah.
So really, I mean, you could see a time when, you know, your wingers are actually your former fullbacks, your fullbacks don't exist. And in fact, we do go back to the time when there's only one fullback.
Yeah.
And that is actually also the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Well, back when there was five, the 2-3-5 formation, the fullbacks were basically the two centre halves. And that's where the whole British idea of two big guys at the back come from.
Yeah.
They weren't the nippy little guys on the wing. Those were the halfbacks. So the fullbacks, but there were two there, and then all of a sudden you've got a third one. So you've got, that's where the centre half came, because it's why it's centre half and centre back. That's why we have the two names still even now.
And they still learn there because they're now interchangeable. I still interchange them now.
Yeah.
Out of just laziness, really.
Well, yeah, because that's
I assume readers position. Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, and everyone knows what you're talking about. Yeah, everyone knows what that actually means. So,
but who knows? In 10 years' time, maybe even less time than that, the fullback could actually be what we now understand a goalkeeper to be.
But then again, also as well, what could also happen is once you've had it for a few years, then someone reins it all back again and say, no, classic goalkeeper, that's what you want to do now. And because we're going back to 4-4-2 again.
Because it never goes away. We're moving back to 4-4-2.
It never goes away.
I mean, 4-4-2 has been, I mean, there's been, we've seen 4-4-2 has been popping up in on the continent. It's not, you know, it's definitely a thing that it's such a flexible formation that it's impossible to think that it would go away.
I do have a little theory about it. I think it's that whenever you change the offside law, it affects formations all the time.
Yes.
When football was first started, when offside was its most strictest, we had 8 forwards.
Yeah.
Then we went to, like, you know, 2 men in front of the ball, 2 or well, 3 men in front of the ball, and then we had 5 forwards, and then we went to 2 men in front of the ball, and then we went to, well, 3-4-4 forwards, 3 forwards, and then 2 forwards.
Yeah. And then now, 1 forward or not, and now we've got no forwards.
Yeah. Now we've got such relaxed attitude towards no interfering with play.
Yeah.
Now we get 1 forward or no forwards even.
Mm.
So it because it stretches the game out so much.
Yeah.
And so it allows players to like walk back from an offside position rather than to run back.
Rather than have to charge back because as long as they're not interfering, they're okay. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Changing
so
pace.
Maybe that's why a goalkeeper can alter his position a bit more.
Yeah. But it'll probably, someone like Simeone or Mourinho will come along with some uber defensive strategy that'll destroy, you know, we'll have, you know, 6 centre halves. Something like that, like pushing the number one back behind their line and then just like ultra defensive, you know, lightning fast on the break.
Mm.
I, for one, welcome it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
How about you, listeners? Do you welcome it? Do you think that this is the way ahead? Or do you think we're like talking a lot of hot air because Jan isn't around to tell us to shut up? It could be that.
It could well be that.
It could well be that.
This is what happens when Yang goes away.
Yeah, he'll be listening in the Algarve right now. Like he'll be supping some Matthias Rosé going, what the hell are those guys going on about? Because he talks like that when he's on holiday.
He does.
Yeah, he only does that northern accent when he's
here. I mean, he did sometimes, occasionally. Certainly, sometimes, occasionally, his Surrey accent does slip.
Yes.
But not often. After he's had a few drinks.
No.
Yeah.
But yes, so, and on that, frankly, like, you know, truthful note, I think it's probably time we brought this podcast to a close, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you've got any opinions on goalkeepers, then let us know.
Yes.
And if you've got any favourite goalkeepers, actually, what we want to hear, get in touch with us if you have a goalkeeper who was really rubbish for your club, but you loved anyway.
Mm.
So like, you know, anyone who was there and we thought, yes, great, he's playing today.
Yes.
Even though you knew that you know, that you'd have to see a goal fest for it to
send in your Perry Sucklings.
That was the name I was going to go for, but but from me, Graham Sibley, and from Terry DeFellin, until next week, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
I didn't know his first name was Charles.
It is.
It's Charles Charlie Charles. But he goes under the name of Joe then.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair dues. Yeah. His name.
Charlie Hart.
I would have got Charlie Hart.
Charlie Hart.
That's better name. Yeah, I think it's harder to drop someone with a name like Charlie Hart, personally.
Charlie Hart was his name. 6'5" he was.
Shock a blonde hair on him. Terrible feet.
Went by the name of Charlie Hart. Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Is it Charlie?
You know, that's the other one, of course. Yes, is it Charlie?
Is it Charlie?
Is it Charlie? Let's get there in one piece.
Charlie.
Charlie.